for His glory. And I think we find an incredible picture of that here in Acts chapter 12. Look at verse number 5, if you would. We're going to start here. And actually tonight, in the time that we have, we're going to pick verse number 5 apart and think about this verse. It says, first of all, verse number 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Think about that. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we know that you honor your word. We know that you use your word to convict for salvation, to convict for growth in our walk with you. And God, I pray that tonight, that as we look into your word, and we understand it's not my word, it's your word, that our hearts would be challenged, would be stirred, and that we would leave having a more vibrant prayer life. Lord, that we'd leave talking with you. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased and glorified tonight. I pray you'd help my voice, and I pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing that I see here is the problem. There's a problem. Verse number 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd say that's a problem. Peter's in prison. In fact, it's a bigger problem even than we think about there in that verse. Because if you go back and read the beginning 4 verses that lead up to verse number 5, think about what it says here. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. I would say that's a problem. I would say there was a problem in that society, in that culture at that time for Christianity and for Christians. And that problem was they were antagonistic. They were anti-Jesus. They were anti-Christianity. And here, Herod, can you imagine having him as a king? You know, we're probably not real thrilled with the options we have voting this year around. I don't know. But here, can you imagine having Herod the king as your king? And he kills James, the brother of John. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Think about that. That's how messed up it was. He kills James and he sees that the Jews get excited. Hey, they like that he's dead. And he's like, hey, I like that they're excited about this. Let's kill Peter also. And they take Peter and they take him and they put him in the prison. And there they put him with 4 quaternions of soldiers. And they put him in the prison and it's a festival or feast going on at that time. And so they're going to wait till after that so that they can get the maximum impact and kill Peter. There's a problem. Peter is in prison. And can I just say that this is an impossible, physically this is an impossible situation. You know, if you're stuck in prison and you have 4 quaternions of soldiers guarding you, you know, forget it. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not getting out. You know, Stephen could probably break out, but for me, I'm not getting out. You know, it's over. It's impossible. The situation is hopeless. And you think about Peter as he's here and he's seeing this situation and he understands and he knows that, hey, they're not just throwing me in prison just to have me sit here for a little while, just to kind of make a statement for, you know, throw me in prison for a little bit, give me some nice meals and just kind of shake things up. No, they know. He knows what the outcome is going to be. Execution. Martyrdom. They've already killed James. Peter, here he is. There's a problem. There's a problem. You know, can we just stop for a minute tonight and say, you know, I might be going out on a limb here, but I'd say there's a problem in our culture today. I'm going out on a limb, but, you know, I'd say our society today has a problem.
Big one.
A big one, you're right. Our nation has a problem. You know, our cities have problems. Our country has a problem. And that is we have turned our back on God. We have rejected His Word. We have rejected His truth. We have swallowed the lie that it doesn't matter, and that the biggest lie today is being sold to young people is that, you know, what you believe is fine for you, true for you. What I believe is fine for me, true for me. No, there's absolute truth, and this is where you find it. We have a problem. We have a problem with reaching people with the gospel. We're not doing it like we should be. We're not reaching out into our society, into our world, as we should be. I would say we have a problem. But what's our response to that problem? What's our response? Here Peter is in a problem, a very, very physical, literal problem, right? He is in prison. He has guards around him and he knows that he is facing death. But the next thing that I see in verse number 5 is this. Peter therefore was kept in prison, the problem, but prayer was made, the prayer. Prayer was made. I like that, taking that back again to James chapter 5, where the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This was intentional prayer. This was, they intentionally said, we're going to come and we are going to pray for Peter. It was not an accidental thing. It was not just a ho-hum thing. It wasn't just a doesn't matter thing, but prayer was made. Could that be said in our life? Could it be said of me that Daniel, prayer was made in his life? How about in your life? Could people look at you and say, prayer was made? I'm not saying just thank you for the breakfast, the lunch, and the dinner. Come Wednesday night, I'm going to pray because we're going to gather and pray that way because we have to. But no, it's intentional. How about going back to the problem? They were praying specifically for this problem. Prayer was made. We see there was a problem, but then we see that they prayed. What's our response when we have a problem? What's our response? To figure it out? To try to get our minds wrapped around it? To try to understand all the angles? To see how we can do it in our own ability and in our own strength? Or do we go to the Lord and say, God, this is hopeless outside of you? You know, I look at what God has led us to do in Manhattan, and I have to be honest, it's hopeless outside of Him. It's hopeless outside of Him. Prayer was made, and then I see with this the passion. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. That's the problem. But prayer was made. That's the prayer without ceasing. Without ceasing. There was a passion behind their prayer. This prayer wasn't, as we said already, just a coincidental thing, just an incidental thing. Hey, well, I guess we'll just have prayer meeting and just kind of pray and, you know, God will just maybe answer and, you know, if we have some spare time, we'll pray. No, man, they were making prayer. They were coming to God before His throne and they were praying without ceasing. Their heart was in it. They were burdened for it. They were consumed by it. Is that how we treat our problems? Not being consumed by our problem, but being consumed by prayer to the one that can solve the problem. You know, our nation is facing problems. And I tell you what, as we get farther and farther from God, this may be our story here. We'll be in prison. What are we going to do then? Sad to say that when we're thrown in prison, maybe some people will just start praying and it'll be a new thing to them. Hey, why aren't we praying now before we get thrown in prison? That'd be a good thing. Prayer was made. There was a passion behind it. There was a purpose behind it. And then I see, fourthly, the people involved. The people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. The problem. But prayer was made without ceasing. The prayer, the passion of the church. Of the church. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. That should excite you a little bit. That should get you excited. That should stir our heart and think, wow, okay, now we're going beyond. Okay, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Think about it. If we have a church that is full of people that are crying out to God, the effectual fervent prayer of a church body crying out to God for the need of our nation, For the needs, you have a prayer bulletin here that we're going to go and pray for. Praying over these fervently. Asking God to work. The church. The church was praying. Again, as we said many times, as you look in the book of Acts, you'd see maybe the church was praying because of persecution was driving them to that place, driving them to that place of trusting in God. Now, ask us tonight, is that what it's going to take for us? To drive us to trust in God. Not trusting in our own ability, not trusting in our own wealth, not trusting in our own intellect, not trusting in our own greatness, but trusting in God and God alone. Because don't you understand tonight that even though you're maybe not in a prison, it doesn't matter because the problem is still too big for you and it's too big for me. And we need God to work in our nation, in our city, in our church, in our family. In me. I need God to work in me. And the prayer was made of the church. Are you praying for each other? Are you praying for each other? Are you praying that God would work in the lives of those sitting around you right now? I mean, not just Wednesday night. This is great. This is, you know, we come together for it specifically. But how about in our own personal time, in our own personal lives? Am I praying for those in my church? Are you praying for those in your church? Are you praying for your missionaries? I know you do. But beyond these doors, are you praying in your home, in your life? That's what the church is made up of. A church isn't this building. A church is you. A church is sitting in these pews right now. And it's just to think about the power that we have when a church will come before God and say, I want to pray and I want God, you to do something. And I'm coming and I'm asking and I'm seeking your face. And then we see the problem, the prayer, the passion, the people. Fifthly, the power. And this is where it gets exciting. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Unto God. That is where our power is. That is where the power comes from. It comes from God. It's not from me. It's not from some emotional buildup. You know, you see that with prayer, right? You just got to emotionally build. No, the prayer, the power comes from God. You think about who we are talking to. In just a moment, we will spread across this building and we will get on our knees before the Creator God of the universe, the Holy God. And you will enter into His throne room. You don't have to go before a priest, a pope. But you will enter the throne room of the God of the universe. We'll pray. The power. I love what happens here. You guys know what happened? Verse number 6. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, that came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I would say that God demonstrated his power. God demonstrated His power. The church got on their knees and God moved and God worked in a way that would physically be impossible. I love this. I can relate with Peter, can't you? He's sitting there sleeping or whatever, and the angel comes and whacks him in the side, says, "We're getting out of here," and he doesn't know what's going on. He gets his shoes on, he gets his robe on, and they're walking out the door. The doors are opening by themselves, and the chains just fall off, and he's out in the street, and then it says that finally it realizes, hey, this is real. You know, this isn't prison air I'm breathing. This is wonderful. You know, if it was me, it would have been a vision. I'd still be in prison. But Peter, man, he was let out. And there he is. And you see the power of God demonstrated. You know what I love about this? It was one angel that walked down, figuratively, into the prison. Didn't blow up, nuclear bombs going off. No, he just walked down, smacked Peter on the side. The chains fell off, the doors opened, and they walked out. Four quaternions of soldiers. Two were guarding him there as he slept. It's no match for God. For you and me, it's impossible. For God, it's not a problem. But what was the catalyst, if we could put it that way? It was a church that was praying. A church that was praying. A church that saw the problem. And instead of just giving up and quitting and just throwing in the towel and say, "Well, God, I'm just going to back out. I'm just going to give up on you." They said, "Lord, you know what? Physically, we can't do anything. But I can get on my knees and I can pray." And they sought God's face, and God answered their prayer. And again, showing the humanity of it all, Peter goes, remember there, and the girl comes and doesn't even believe it's Peter. And they go back and forth with that there. Didn't even really believe God would answer. Or apparently some kind of a lack of understanding. But they prayed. They prayed. And I ask you tonight, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What are you seeing God avail much in your life about? What are you seeing God do in your life that you can look and say, "You know what? It's not me. It's Him." As a church, how are we gathered together as a church seeking God's face? Saying we are facing an impossible situation in our country, in our culture, in our world, in the university, in the high school. The odds aren't in our favor. But God... we're on His side. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God that He will move. I'm excited tonight. And in a few minutes, we're going to enter into the courtroom of the one who has all authority, who has all power. You know, I think about New York City and the incredible need that is there. And you know, sometimes it gets overwhelming. There's a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people there. But I think about what Jesus said. He said when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherds. Then saith He unto His disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." The university isn't your harvest, it's God's harvest. Maquonago is not your harvest field, it's where God has placed you in His harvest field. New York City's His harvest field. And He has all power and authority. But are you praying? Am I praying? Let's be a church that prays, that seeks God's face, because He is the one that has all power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, a simple truth from Acts. Lord, as You taught that New Testament first century church a lesson in praying and You answering. But God, it's no different today. You look down at this church, at Maquonago Baptist Church, and You want to answer prayer. And You want to move and You want to work in lives. Help us, I pray, to pray. Help us not to give in to our circumstances, to our problems, but to trust you and to cry out to you. And Lord, even tonight as we pray, I pray that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that, Lord, we would see you work and availing much here in this church, in the lives of the missionaries around the world, that you would avail much in their ministries for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.